Welcome one and all to a special Dice Company Extra Roll. Rather than looking back on the previous chapters in the story, we're going to look back at the story in real life, which led to us launching Dice Company in the first place. And for this one, I'm joined by the whole gang. Gang, please introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm Alex, and I'm playing Augustus.
Not today, my friend.
Hey, today we're playing ourselves.
Hello, I'm Dave, and I play Beniquez, the group's rogue.
We're not actually doing intros like that. Has he been in, is he now just so used to doing that?
He's winning, is all I can tell you.
Does he do that at work?
I'm Dave, I play Beniquez.
Yeah.
The crafty rogue.
That tripped off the tongue very naturally.
The cheeky sneak thief. please leave.
Hi, I'm Harry, and in this episode, I play myself, an imposing 6'8" swordmaster.
I don't know which is the greater lie.
It's definitely the height. He has swords.
I don't know. I have to think about that. Hi, I'm Charlie, and that's it. I'm just me. I'm not playing anyone. This is the real deal.
God help us all.
Well, no, there you go. Fun fact about me. I was scored 20 out of 20 across all traits, including unbearable.
It's perfect on paper.
Which came out of all you guys playing Champ Manager, which is a legit terrible game. And before you rein in and destroy me for saying that, and then deciding to rate me when I innocently raised that there were other things in life other than Football Manager.
Other than spreadsheet Football Manager. Yeah. Well, I'm afraid you're wrong.
There we go.
And it's good to see that the huge amount of planning that's gone into this episode is paying dividends already. As we're already on Football Manager as a topic.
Although we are going back to Charlie throwing shade at spreadsheets.
That's true. That is going back, but not back far enough.
Not the worst game ever made. I would argue that goes to Port Royale 2, a game about, as it says, it's about pirates. But really, it's about balancing the books behind piracy.
Pirate accounting.
Surely the worst ever game ever made is Risk.
Oh,
I don't know. Don't know.
Port Royale 2 is great, by the way.
Port Royale 2 is also establishes that I am quite the salesman because I got Charlie to play that thinking it was an amazing pirate game.
I think that's where you lost any grip on selling stuff to me. And it's not a good game. It's an abomination.
15 years later, he didn't play his natural calling of a bard because of that lie.
It took near 15 years in real time to get my small pirate band to the stage where we could actually fight someone. And then instead of fighting, it simulated that bit so I didn't see any action. And then it produced an end of fight report, which made clear that I had to work all night to balance the books to shore up my failing piracy enterprise. It was awful.
I love that game so much for its lure of piracy and then just the absolute grey like gameplay afterwards. It was delightful.
Massive bait and switch in a game.
So obviously all of us come from slightly different backgrounds with our TTRPG experience. Harry, why don't you tell us where you started?
Well, back in the mists of time. So when I was a kid, I used to play Warhammer, as many of us did. And I got a whole bunch of like the Warhammer rule books, and included in them was some books I just really didn't understand at all, which was the first edition copies of The Enemy Within role-playing game series. And this was like a mystery to me at age 7 or 8 or whatever. But it always stayed with me. And eventually I listened to a podcast called Journey to Madness, which is a Warhammer Fantasy role-play podcast, because I'm trying to remember why I listened to that in the end. Some chap at work like recommended something like that. I just listened to it and I was just sold after that. Found a local board games club and proceeded to tell no one because this was before Critical Role and before it was cool.
Oh, those halcyon days.
Yeah.
Nice. Dave, what about you?
Well, when I was a kid, my brother and I discovered the Fighting Fantasy books, Steve Jackson and Ian Livingstone. I think The Warlock of Firetop Mountain was our first.
Absolute banger.
Yeah. And then we collected quite a large number of them. And then later I got into Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. I had the first edition book. On reflection, quite a lot of pages missing. I think I had like a really poorly printed copy. It's like a bunch of pages missing from the bestiary. But we used to play that not particularly well. I had a wood elf character called Lister. And as I think I've mentioned on Extra Roll at some point before, our GM just was very happy with the experience points. Very, very free and easy. And we all leveled up massively and became incredibly powerful. And then, I played bits and bobs of Warhammer itself. I don't recollect actually ever playing a game of it. I definitely had a lot of figures that I painted exceptionally poorly. And I remember setting stuff up, but I don't think we ever actually got around to playing it. And that was it, really. And then role-playing games kind of dropped out of my life until whenever it was, when Tom said, I'm thinking about starting a Dungeons & Dragons game. Do you want to play? It can just be a one-off. If you don't like it, you don't have to carry on. In exactly that voice, as I would call it.
It's a hell of an impression. My God, it's like hearing myself.
And so I did. And I haven't stopped.
See, that's how I get you. You know, it's free. Just don't play.
First one's free. Yeah.
And before you know it, I've roped you into a weekly podcast.
I looked at all my old Warhammer minis not that long ago. And the paint quality on them, not what I remember from being a kid. Yeah, looks like someone's throwing paint at them from a reasonable distance.
I think the most disheartening thing for me with the miniature side of it is that I now can afford to buy the proper kit and the paints and everything like that, and when I paint it, it still comes out like trash. This isn't how this is supposed to work. I have the gear.
Honorable mention to Baldur's Gate and Icewind Dale and such games, because I used to play them at uni.
Alex, how did you get into gaming?
Oh dear.
Okay, firstly, you have played games. You are on a pretty successful podcast.
I mean I get that. For some reason, my life successes don't fade from the memory in the same way. So I have played at least a couple of TTRPG, maybe D&D games with you guys before, not D&D. I honestly don't really remember. It's been a very busy and tiring period of my life with young children, sleep deprivation. I'm hoping at least some of the people out there recognize the sense of your life becoming a total blur with little kids on the scene. So I do remember parts of those games. I remember playing Olbus and then Molbus, a little halfling and then an idiot Goliath, I believe. I remember how both of those characters died and had a lot of fun with that. And I think the thing I really liked about it was just the kind of stupid stuff that happened. Like, I like the, you know, I like the fights and the, you know, trying to unpick mysteries and stuff, but just the like howling with laughter as Harry's wizard character kept halving his own intelligence as we got sucked into a vortex, like that, and things like that, that despite my apparently shaky memory, really do stick in my memory in a really good way. So I have limited experience, even accounting for me having forgotten some of that limited experience, but I think a couple of those nights really laughing at that is what kind of made me keen when the glorious DM Tom said, did I want to do this Dice Company thing? And I think I'm right in saying I pretty much instantly said, hell yes.
I think everyone did. I think everyone was kind of on board with the idea from the get-go. Charlie.
I didn't realize that that's what Harry was doing. Sorry. He talked about Baldur's Gate at uni. A big puzzle piece has dropped into place for me. You didn't mention that that's what that was all about. You would just disappear off and do that. We found it most sinister.
Well, obviously I shouted at the computer whilst playing all the spell words and everything.
Minsk and boo together.
I was going to say that didn't weird us out, but that was totally normal. It was the rest of it. So I don't think I played D&D growing up at all. I think the first time I was introduced to any of that was when we were in the shared house after uni. And what was that game that we played?
So just to fill everyone in, a number of us have over the years lived together in a gigantic house share that's just affectionately called The House. And in that, we played a game of Hero Quest.
That's it, Hero Quest, which is kind of a cross between a board game and D&D, I guess. And that was, I really enjoyed that. And then it all dropped away again. That is so on trend for how that house worked. We were like, this is the best thing ever. And the next week, we never played it again. And a new fad took its place. But Yeah, and then maybe 3 or 4 years later, we played one, and that's where, Harry, you were involved in that one, I think.
I think I dropped in for an episode or two, a chapter or two, didn't I?
Just long enough to betray me. I remember
that. How did I betray you? Oh, no.
I think you kidnapped me.
I massively betrayed. Yeah, that is true. That wasn't intentional, by the way. I don't think Tom was expecting that by accident? No, as in Tom wasn't expecting that.
Oh.
It's because you guys were all so incredibly hostile.
I wasn't.
I was sort of dropped into the game as a, to aid in giving the party a quest. So I was like, my character was an agent, was given a bag of money and a little quest tag thing to send you on. When it came to doing that, the party all just rounded on me and demanded more money, threatened the character. It put me on the spot so much. I genuinely panicked and I went to my just go-to clutch play, which is Betray Charlie.
Hey, that tracks. Fair enough. No more questions. So we did that. And then in true house style, it fell away again. And the next time was years later. And Dom said, let's give this a go. Like Shag says, just one quest. Don't worry about it. Absolutely no commitment. And then this began.
It was one quest, no commitment. But on reflection, in no way any kind of one shot. Very clearly the first episode of a large campaign.
Yeah.
That's really true, actually. How did none of us see that
coming? Well, it's kind of a tradition in a way. You say, I'm going to run a one-shot. And then you just put in a bunch of story hooks and things that aren't resolved. And then people are, well, we have to play next week to find out what happened.
Easy peasy.
And that is how campaigns are born.
I was distracted. I was obviously looking at the betrayal angle from Hazmat. So
so I might as well fill in some of the gaps that kind of unite the disparate stories of how everyone got into this. So I first kind of fell in love with the fantasy side of life when I was around 10 years old, and I picked up my first edition of White Dwarf, issue 159. And I was absolutely overwhelmed with the miniatures in it. I just thought, it felt like my mind had exploded with possibilities. And I became very obsessed with Warhammer, as did a lot of my childhood friends, one of whom, Scott, who plays Bardle Schultz on the podcast. And, you know, we went through school together. We played a lot of Warhammer. We kept it pretty quiet, as was the time. And then we all went off to university, and I had been playing Baldur's Gate, same as Harry. Kind of was aware of Warhammer Fantasy roleplay, although I never played it.
You never played Planescape, though, did you?
No, not my thing. No, but I did do Icewind Dale and Neverwinter Nights. And then obviously moved into the big house with a rotating cast of characters as housemates. I think at one point there was 8 of us living there. And as Charlie said, we randomly played Hero Quest and everyone enjoyed it. And then it was forgotten about until we saw the community episode of Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, why don't we just try Dungeons and Dragons? It's obviously very popular. That episode makes it seem really cool. That's something we could all be good at. And so I bought the starter pack for it. And then I found out that there was Warhammer 3rd edition role-playing, which was far more suited to the group. So I bought all of the stuff from all of the books for that. And I set up a 10-person one-shot, which in retrospect was too many. Harry came in for a couple of episodes while we did the Rough Night at the Three Feathers Inn.
I did one before that, didn't we? We had, it was like I was playing a Sigmarian war priest.
That was after. So what happened is I realized that 10 was too many. So I split it into two groups. The group that really enjoyed, okay, this is going to sound bad. There was one party that really enjoyed adventuring. And then there was you guys.
The talkie party.
how times have changed.
Wait there. So you could make a podcast out of two groups. Was it pity that motivated you to choose us?
No, I just, you were just here. So, and I knew you didn't have anything else going on. So
that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said.
It's not true. It's not true. So we had the two parties, the Iron Fists, who were the bold adventurers going out, slaying evil enemies and making loads of coin and running brothels and all sorts. And then there was the other party.
The timid little mice.
The Sage Prophets, who are far more into the character side of it and kind of developing their characters and actually sort of existing within the fantasy world that was around them.
The kind of group that were they to knock on a door and a gruff voice would tell them to go away. they might just leave it alone.
Right then.
Seems pretty clear. Let's get out of here.
Don't need to tell us twice.
I'm mocking as if I'm not part of the group.
And see if you can guess which character matches which player.
I feel like these are going to be like the names of beers in camera pubs.
So there was Shadowmancer Lowweather, a wizard with a gun.
Oh, no points for guessing who that is. Who could it be? A mystery.
I've only just circled back to those characters.
There was Johann von Mansfield, who was a noble Sigmarian priest, who would stop the adventure halfway through to go and pray at an altar. Anyone want to put their hand up to that one?
Harry.
That's right. Harry is Johann von Mansfield.
I remembered all the lore from Warhammer, so.
And the two other characters, a foppish non-fighter with a magnificent moustache called Pierre Dubois.
I mean, Alex, surely.
No, it can't be Alex, because Alex has never played D&D before.
Yeah.
That's true.
You bastards.
And our joint friend JB played Tiberius of Drakenwald, a fighter. Yeah, so those two went off their separate ways, and you guys, yours lasted maybe 4 adventures total, like really kind of complicated, in-depth mystery adventures, and then you guys all just lost interest. The other party went on to have a 6-year campaign that culminated in them saving the world from the end times.
Hey, I'll point. In my defense, I did live like a 2-hour drive away from you guys.
Unacceptable.
Wait a minute, though. Again, how did you pick us then? I mean, look at the dedication from the other. I mean, what, was there just what magical one thing did we do? Because this is a story of not picking the team you picked.
So the story continued as I continued to DM for the other group, the Iron Fists, through a variety of different game systems. We did Star Wars, we did GURPS at one point, and the lineup changed over time. And then a friend of mine called Anjani introduced me to a cartoon a few years ago called The Legend of Vox Machina. And having watched that, I realized that it was based on a D&D actual play, which is not something I'd ever really properly come across. And the other party and I kind of transitioned into D&D, but actually playing once a week wasn't enough. So I thought, I'm going to set up, try and have a massive starting party and then split it into two and do like a West Marches style campaign without telling anyone. Just tell everyone it's just one adventure and you don't have to worry about it after that, but leaving loads of mysteries to hook you all in. And this is where your party was born out of that. The moment I knew that we could make a podcast was when I was listening to Dave's old character argue with Charlie's old character in character for like 5 minutes. And when the argument ended, I thought, holy shit, I have now got to do something because I'm not watching TV. I am actually having to run this game.
You're telling me that my character and Charlie's character were having an argument?
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Doesn't sound right.
Does not sound right.
I really feel like my Durognor the Dwarf enabled Charlie's deal on the pap too much in that campaign.
But all of your characters were fantastic, and it was full of political intrigue and kind of local myths, and it had this kind of, the setting I think really helped being icy and wintry all the time, you know. And so I just recorded you guys without telling you, which happened a year ago. That's kind of the story that intertwines and brings you guys all together. And as for why I picked you guys, your character work is exceptional.
Whereas the other party from the other game actually, you know, like succeeded in taking down the big bad whilst we died in a shop.
Truth is, I've never forgiven them for killing the big bad after like 8 quests. They were too powerful. They're too good at the game. You guys are just the right amount of crap. What do you guys remember about the original campaign that we started running a year and a half ago? Talk to me about your characters. And
so we should probably mention, shouldn't we, that the campaign was based in the same world as the one that we're currently playing in.
But many years ago.
Yeah, and on a different continent.
Characters-wise, I was playing a entirely honest and truthful dwarven cleric named Durugnal, who's he may have taken one level of cleric and then proceeded to multi-class into necromancer. His I went to town with the name as well. There's like you get like Lord of the Rings, people have done dwarven the same as Klingon for Star Trek. Like people could literally have, they put a Google Translate thing in. So Durugnal, I can't remember what the rest of the name was now, but it translated to Frank von Stein. So it would have been Frankenstein eventually. But he died before I could reveal that.
Didn't technically die, did he? Just had his intelligence sucked out and then his soul removed from his body.
Yeah, well.
One of the things I love about that campaign is I think Shags has mentioned this before, but not being experienced at D&D, most of us just spilled our character backstories on episode one.
Yeah.
Here's what's intriguing about me, XYZ. And meanwhile, Harry did the right thing and said very little about his character and then died before any of the backstory was revealed. So died shopping and then said, by the way, my character was fascinating.
I had pages and pages of, yeah. That's how it goes.
Just awesome job all round.
First episode, didn't you and Al's characters basically co-murder each other?
Yes.
Yeah,
he hit me with an axe and I cast Divine Retribution on him.
I think I felt like that was the DM giving us a lesson in if you say you're doing something, then you're doing something.
Yeah,
it was.
Because I think Alex kind of off the cuff was like, fine, then I hit you with my axe. And he was then made to hit you with his axe.
And yeah. He hit you hard.
And then obviously I responded in kind.
And then we used all of our potions.
And then Harry's character, took like four steps forward, having emptied his supply of healing potions on you. Four steps forward, caught in a trap, lost half his health.
Yeah.
Good times.
But yeah, so I co-ran once again. There were two parties adventuring in the same world at the same time. And the others who listeners would have heard quite a bit about by now, which is the Fellowship of Cantioch. Once again, they were a really efficient, effective fighting team, like true adventurers through and through.
I am sick of all the other teams you have dealt with being utterly awesome. Like, I still don't, I'm left abashed that we ended up being the people on the podcast.
They had all the melee characters, basically, and then we had all like the weak, like wizards and warlocks and rangers and stuff. And then, yeah, the first proper fight we had on our own, it was basically a TPK because there was just no one to stand and defend anything.
You had a paladin and a fighter on your side at that point.
Did we, though? I feel like, oh, no, hang on. Yeah,
technically, you did.
Al's fighter, who ran away to the back, and the paladin, who was just nuts.
Our friend Tim there doing his absolute best impression of a barbarian paladin. Yeah. I'm just going to run away from these four goblins. I don't care if I draw attacks of opportunity from all of them. So he's fairly bloodied by the time he gets into combat with the wizard.
Didn't we later establish that was completely unnecessary and that we could have just had a chat with that character?
Yeah, but you forced me to pivot after the wipeout of all your I think at the end it was just Charlie, your character, Dion LePape, just kind of bamfing around the map, trying to get away from the goblins.
What I love about that as well is later you revealed that not only was he that person not a threat, but our actions turned him into the big bad.
Yeah.
Then he gained in power, did more terrible things to us. And then as things ended up, we never really met him again. We died shopping. So just the world was better for the fact that our team, that mythical world is probably a better place for the fact that we all had the good grace to bow out in a shop.
Well, yeah, hang on. Didn't your character assassinated the one, like, actually good, decent ruler of any of the places we visited?
I would argue that was the only tangible action we took.
Because didn't it turn out that the other team were, like, enabling a werewolf lord?
As a vampire, and yeah.
Yeah, they didn't know that. They won't have known that until you've literally just said it.
Well, you can edit it out, can't you?
I don't know. I quite like the idea of them listening and finding out that...
What?
They were in the employ of a vampire lord the whole time.
Well, that campaign has ended, hasn't it? With another TPK eventually.
Yes.
Mind flayers, I think it was something.
Intellect devourers slash giants. I had to throw a lot at them. They were really good at combat. Whereas with you guys, obviously, I look at the kind of challenge rating and then just knock 15% off just to make it like manageable for you guys.
Feel fair, yeah.
Whereas with them, I have to double it and then add some.
At least we haven't had a TPK in this campaign so far.
Yet.
Yes.
Well, that feels like tempting fate, doesn't it?
Last week, you guys came very close to losing Tok.
Mm.
Like literally a 50% dice roll.
Oh, in the, yeah. Yeah, that was...
In the battle against Lothar Janeth.
In retrospect, we should have got Shaq to take on the Beholder because he could have tanked at least one of those saves.
That sounds like tactics. It's not our strong point.
No.
It's not our strong point. Morally, we're opposed to him.
I remember in that first campaign, my favourite moment, I think, was when we were mid-battle and my character got knocked down. And then I think someone managed to get me a healing potion or something. So I was kind of like semi-back up on my feet, at which point Charlie's character, Dion, decided to sprint on. He was riding a horse, his magnificent steed, which is sitting everywhere, and sprinted directly at me with the idea being that he would reach down, pick me up, and haul me onto the back of his horse, but in fact rolled so low that he charged at me, the horse kicked me in the head and knocked me back out again.
I think I also got unhorsed.
Yeah, I think you might have done.
My heart was in the right place on that. That was the smart play, okay? The dice let me down.
I would like to say for the record that I can do D&D tactics. I do understand how the game works. Feels out of place in this
Got a lot of evidence to the contrary.
A lot of recorded, edited, and released evidence.
Yeah.
In hindsight, that felt like an extremely chaotic campaign, didn't it?
Hey.
You're not kidding.
I like the episode where, I can't quite remember why, but you took over a bar and declared happy hour.
Yeah.
There was kind of a riot in town.
Yeah.
It was in Thistleton, wasn't it?
West, meanwhile, there was actual important campaign stuff going on the other side of town with Al and Dave's characters that we just basically left them to it. Unfortunately, there were no consequences from that.
Yes.
Poor old Alex lost Olbus, his halfling fighter, who was quickly replaced by his new character, Molbus.
Creativity was through the roof, wasn't it?
I have a question then. So obviously we played characters in the previous campaign, which all died prematurely on a shopping trip. Do you prefer your character now, or would you go back and play your previous character?
Oh, I love all my characters equally.
Oh, not only is that a terrible answer, it's a lie.
Yeah, that's a real difficult one. Because obviously, like, Duragnor had a lot of road left to travel. I never got to raise any undead.
But let's face it, his road never got travelled. You played the long game in a very short campaign, and that went horribly.
I've never played a necromancer before. And before the game, I was saying to Dom, as a joke, I was saying to Dom, like, you know, I'll like roll up an evil character like a necromancer. And Dom was like, yeah, do it. Go for it. And I was like, well, okay.
That leads me to another question. So you guys tend to play good characters. Even Benny appears bad, but I think has a gooey center of good. Is that, would you see yourself playing an evil character?
I would play I'd be more than happy to play an evil character for a shorter amount of time. But I think over a long campaign, it might not be fun.
I would say au contraire. there's an awful lot of fun but it kind of has to be agreed upon in a way to have an evil character, or you have to play them in a kind of slightly more nuanced way, I guess. But there's not a lot of mileage in playing like a bloodthirsty kill everyone in sight character, but having evil characters with plans who, yeah, like, you know, there's a lot of fun you can have there. So I'd say, and to be fair, I've played a few in my time, the most recent being in our game of Candela Obscura.
I think maybe Benny is turning out nicer than I had initially intended or imagined.
It's for contrast, I guess, isn't it?
I think Vanda's cooking nicely.
I think an evil campaign can work, as you say, can work really well.
Hmm.
The problem is, if you're all playing powerful evil characters, historically in fiction and the like, they tend not to play well with others.
Or each other, yeah, or each other. Like groups like that are really tricky to get to stick together. But
isn't that part of our group makeup, though? I mean, a lot of this is a pretext for getting in decent right hooks on our friends. So building in natural conflict seems like a must.
It will eventually get to a point where you guys are literally stabbing each other in the back and characters are going to die when you do that.
Works for me.
Maybe we'll do a special evil campaign with you guys in the pits of the five hells. Yeah. But what I'll do is I'll sell it as you guys are evil overlords all vying for power, but actually you'll just be accountants. Pirate accountants.
Goddamn pirate accountants.
Is it Port Royal 2? All over again.
Yes!
That will be the name.
I will say, actually, since I've paid everyone here a compliment by saying Royal Rail Red, I'm going to counterbalance that by saying that Harry's recommendations are trash. Every time you recommend a book to me, I've learned to fear those moments in my life.
Care to name and shame any terrible books you've read? Big Book is listening.
I'm going to hard left.
Hopefully not the authors of these books, though.
I gave Harry the immense gift of Joe Abercrombie and the amazing series you've mentioned a number of times, which when you give a great recommendation to someone of a book you know they'll really love, it's a gift, right? It's a really lovely thing. You don't come across that many books you're going to recommend, so you hand them. And he, in response, gave me a book about, I feel like I might be alienating too many people by firing back at you.
But I would like to say that despite my entirely accurate criticisms of Charlie, that's not the Blade itself was not the only great book series he's recommended over time. There's been also been Mortal Engines, the Bobiverse books. There's been actually quite a few book series that Chuck's recommended. And over time, I have learned that when Chuck recommends a book series, I generally read it.
He's recommended those to me as well, and I've loved them all. Age of Iron trilogy.
Age of Iron, absolutely superb.
By Angus Watson.
Angus Watson,
Obviously, we've recently released the Candela Obscura four-part series, which I think has gone down incredibly well. And congratulations to Charlie for an excellent job GMing. His first time ever and recording it. Superb.
Yeah.
And that's not where we're going to stop. We're going to expand out and do a few more and give a few of the other guys their opportunity to GM as well.
I want to point out, in an early episode of Extra Roll, Harry said, if ever I GM, he is going to be, quote, the worst. And I feel like he made good in his threat.
Well, I did, didn't I?
Dave, why don't you talk about what you're looking into at the moment?
This is the bit, like, when you ask that question about, are you writing any more short stories, isn't it? This is where you get us to commit on recorded audio that we're going to do some stuff. Yeah, I can see through you.
Once it's out there, it's fact. It's canon.
I am looking into...
I'm Dave, and I play Benny Quez. Go on, go to your roots.
I'm looking to probably run a Call of Cthulhu adventure for the group at some point in the future.
Amazing.
On the subject of books and things, I was about to say that kind of fits more in with my interests, although I don't actually like H.P. Lovecraft. But yeah, they're kind of like eerie, atmospheric... kind of slightly scary stuff might be quite enjoyable to put together a tale around that.
And what kind of sort of setting are you thinking? Like a historic or a modern day Delta Green style thing? Or
I'm thinking historic at the moment, but I'm still early in my thinking with it. Maybe like a sort of 20s, 30s.
Have you thought of the system? Like whether you're going for the classic Call of Cthulhu, or because I could recommend some other systems if you want.
So I've been reading the rules of classic Call of Cthulhu.
There's a trap here. Mm. This is like the three stage text bail, but the Harry amendment to that, right? So the first question is, hey, you and your stuff. The second bit is, hey, me and my stuff. And the third bit is, let's talk mechanics. And you're 2.5 steps in.
So a bit of Call of Cthulhu, lovely stuff, very lovely. And Harry, why don't you talk about what you're working on?
So I was thinking to go with the contrast from the fantasy settings of the others, to go with a sci-fi one-shot. And because...
Make it about space audit.
Exactly. Is that, I mean, to be fair, Charlie's character is going to be an accountant.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
With no special abilities.
Exactly.
Not even trained in Excel.
For someone who doesn't like accountancy, I've already played Gary Pencil. And now I'm going to play a space accountant.
Aaron Abacus.
What system are you running on, Harry?
So I haven't really been able to settle on one. So I thought that maybe I should write my own.
Yes.
This may change because it may turn out to be hubris.
No, not going to change. You're definitely making your own system. And Cannon. This is going out and everyone's going to hear it. So it's a thing.
But I have been thinking about names for it, which is something I can could share. So,
of course, there's a list. Top 10 names.
Ranging from silly silly.
Okay, please remove any that are copyright infringement.
Oh, yeah, shit. No, good.
There's one left.
Harry Obscura.
No, the first one for like the game system I thought for a while would be Used Future, Like Dust, or Stochastic Bakistochrone.
Absolutely not that one. Veto that one. You need to be able to spell it.
You could Wikipedia it.
Nope. I'm not going to do it. We can't expect others to do it.
The other one would be Death of Soil, but I think that one's a bit crap. There are other weirder ones, but yeah. I really like the word stochastic. Well, actually, I need to pick two names as well, because I need to pick one for the actual game system that I'm making and one for the one-shot.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I, for one, am excited. Obviously, I know that you're a mensch when it comes to game mechanics.
I don't know.
That's right. Now's not the time to be coy. I'm going to cut out everything you say anyway, unless it's I'm awesome.
I'm conflicted and awesome.
I'm just going to come in and go, and awesome. So yeah, I for one, very excited about seeing what you can come up with. And if it works well, which I'm absolutely convinced it will, we might look to release that to the listeners as well so they can have a look and have a play with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, making something that someone else can run is like another step up above.
I believe in you. You can do it. Oh, we should probably mention that the original name of the podcast was not Dice Company.
Indeed.
Yeah, and weirdly, the old name very occasionally pops up when I look at the podcast in Spotify. Does anyone else get that?
So the original name was Vicious Mockery, which I think suited certainly what we were presenting in the early chapters. But we took too long in the editing and release of the first few chapters, and another podcast has beat us to it with 3 weeks to go before we launched, which meant a very hasty edit to the first 6 chapters to remove any reference to Vicious Mockery.
Which was all over the place, I imagine.
Yeah. Yes, it was, including all of the artwork that we had done and everything like that. And so, yeah, that was a nice chaotic start. And then, of course, the people who made the Vicious Mockery podcast vanished after 3 episodes.
To be fair, there's quite a lot of Vicious Mockery-related content swirling about.
Yeah,
so it was probably good to have
a Dice Companies. I really like the name Dice Company.
It's a lot nicer than a lot of the other suggestions we had for names.
What were some of the other proposed names? Can anyone remember?
I remember I put together a big long list, didn't I?
I'll tell you what, I do not want to be caught in a zombie apocalypse with you. Because everyone's going to, you know, everyone's going to.
I literally have swords on the wall everywhere.
Now, you're going to be killed by the dolly you've let live in your house. But so you won't be there for this stage of the zombie apocalypse. But you'd just make a list, wouldn't you? We'd be like, oh my God, zombies outside. You'd be like, I've produced a list.
You want to be a bloody pirate, but armies march on lists.
It was that the point that Port Royal 2 was trying to make.
And just to complete the future projects to go on top of Call of Cthulhu and the as yet unnamed Harry system, I'm also looking to run an Ungovernable special, a Fallout special, an Orbital Blue special, and maybe a Zombie Apocalypse one as well. So look out for them in the next 5 years.
So he's saying we have a 5-year plan.
I do. Oh, what the fuck are you guys going to be doing?
I'm going to be playing Fallout, apparently.
None of you invited. I'm bringing other players in. I need a break from you people.
That is certainly true.
Okay, that is enough. Sorry for the chaotic nature of this episode, ladies and gentlemen. And please enjoy. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up the original episode that I recorded on my phone as an extra episode of Extra Roll. So please enjoy it. Don't judge it too harshly. Otherwise, we'll see you all next time. Ta-ta!
Yeah. Sorry, Dom, hijacked the episode. You can carry on.
That's all right. I've just swallowed a bit of my own tooth.
Wow, that's quite impressive.
Excuse me a second. I'll be back.
Oh, my. There you go. When we started D&D, we were young and sprightly, and now we swallow our own teeth whilst trying to discuss it. Amazing.
In hindsight, that massive radiation exposure was a bad move.
It literally just fell out.
You want to postpone this and like go see a dentist or something?
Oh, this time of night. This light doesn't hurt.
They can't do anything with it because he's eaten it.
Yeah.
Did you eat it?
Yeah. How we got into TTRPGs and fantasy worlds and...
We play TTRPGs?
You're giving yourself editing work at this point.
I mean, all of this is being cut, so you guys can say whatever the fuck you want.
5 minutes out of an hour and 20.
You can say whatever you want. Cock, balls. Just making a point here, Frank. You don't know how to celebrate it.
For the love of God. Right, everyone, shut the fuck up. This is not the Sharp podcast. For the love of Christ.
That's the first Sharp reference I...
We should do a Sharp podcast.
Sharps and Sharping.
Probably a drop.
We should call it Bastards with Sean Bean.